sorry, November 1st, 2009 podcast. I say November 1st, 2000 podcast, John Fedeli.
Why do you say that, Mike Grasso?
Because our podcasts have been so successful.
Why are we laughing?
There's a chance that, you know, there'll be more. Well, there's going to be more podcasts, like
sure.
like my film photography podcast that yeah. I threatened to spin off last time.
Yes.
Well, John, it yes. spun off.
Awesome, and it was a lot of fun.
Filmphotographypodcast.com. Myself and Dwayne Paul Q host a film photography podcast. I just said that.
Filmphotographypodcast.com.
And I'm in a good mood because it feels kind of refreshing to be back to the alternative cinema podcast. John?
Yes? Closing doors.
Because I have to tell you that even though the film photography podcast is not an academic podcast, mm-hmm. it's a little bit more...
informative.
It's informative and serious and...
Excuse me.
Fart sound effects just don't fit into it.
I bet they could, but...
I'd lose a lot of people.
You think?
Yeah.
People would totally yeah. be turned off by fart sound effects.
So I feel almost liberated
if you put a fart sound effect instead of a shutter. Like, here, let me take your picture. People wouldn't like that.
And, you know, sitting in a room with us right now, also mic'd up, is one of my favorite filmmakers, an all-around nice guy. And he will tell you, I'm sure he'll tell you how much I really love him.
Aww.
His name is Dave Canfield.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
How you doing?
Hi, Dave.
Welcome, Dave.
Now, you, Dave, I mean, we were just, you know, John, before you arrived, John was late again.
Oh.
I got you your munchkins, John.
Thank you.
If you recall, John complains every podcast that I bring him nothing.
That there's no food.
So I brought you, I don't consider this food.
Well, it's sustenance.
Yes. But you could ask Dave, okay?
I'll ask.
Before we, you know, started recording, wasn't yeah, I just this... a sad sack a few seconds ago?
A few seconds ago, a few months ago. Most of the times I talk to you, you're a pretty cynical guy.
Yes, I'm a very cynical guy. But, John, I just want to say, hey.
Hey.
We now have a film photography podcast. It's also accessible on the Alternative Cinema site.
Yep.
And the hopes of, I was very thrilled to bring Dave on board because I thought, wow, you know, because although I'm cynical most of the time when I speak to Dave, filmmaker, Dave, filmmaker, director, Dark Chamber. Dave, Dark Chamber. Dark Chamber, director Dave.
Yes, writer.
Writer, director.
Actor. Dave, filmmaker.
Actor, Dave, filmmaker.
Does it all.
Does it all. I said, I got to bring Dave in because Dave, when Dave comes to visit us on Taco Tuesday, not here yet for Pizza Friday.
I was here for Pizza Friday.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, at least one Pizza Friday.
I find him, he knows a lot more. He seems to be more, quote unquote, plugged in to the micro-budget independent movie scene than I am. And I thought, wow, let's bring Dave into the show, and maybe, we don't know yet, Dave, so don't take this as it will, but maybe we could do more podcasts, whereas the first, let's just say, John, this is just a, you know, making this up.
Okay.
November 1st, right? November.
Right.
First.
Right.
What's to say we couldn't have, like, a second podcast where we tune in more on, you know, not the news mm-hmm. and the new releases, but we tune in to what's going on in the independent film world.
Why not?
And then Dave could snoop around and figure out what's going on, and he can come by, even though it takes him, what, 5 hours to get here.
He'd be on special assignment.
Special assignment. Maybe he could record it at his house, and we could do that.
Why don't we just call him on the phone?
Thing, the Skype thing, yada, yada. Oh, I mean, it's a whole Skype. New world, right?
Yeah. Could I describe my drive on the way over here?
Yes.
Do you remember that movie Speed, where the car couldn't descend below a certain speed or else it would explode? That was kind of like my trip on the way here today. Because I have a problem with my radiator. I have a problem with coolant. And apparently, when I went to get the car adjusted yesterday, because this is where the problem began, they told me, okay, we need a part. It's going to be in on Friday. I said, well, I have to go to New Jersey tomorrow. Now, this is, what, usually a two-hour drive?
The guy said, that's your problem.
He said, come back on Friday. I'm like, well, what should I do? I have to get down to New Jersey for this podcast. And he said, well, just try to keep it above 30 miles an hour.
Ah, yeah.
And worst comes to worst, just put your heat on.
Yep.
So yeah. I'm driving, and my car slows down because, like, it's raining, and there's about four accidents on the way over here. And my car starts going into the red. The temperature's going up and up and up. So I'm like, I'm cranking up the heat, and it's like 95 degrees, 100 degrees in the car, and I'm rolling down the window, and cars are driving by, and they're splashing water into the car. And it was just
awesome.
And it kept going up regardless of the fact that I had the heat on. I had to try maybe the coolant work, and the coolant, you know, I put the temperature on zero, and the temperature's only slightly going down. So that was kind of my...
Dave, Dark Chamber, and if you saw Dark Chamber, if you haven't seen Dark Chamber, for God's sake, please buy it. And if you're not going to buy it, that's fine. Go to Dave's favorite place, Netflix.
That's right.
Yes. So
Netflix is a wonderfully fun place for independent filmmakers because it seems like the average rating amongst independent filmmakers is about a 1.6.
Really?
Because our films get skewered.
Oh, boy.
Because real people, your general public,
right.
Is reviewing, who have no tolerance for low-budget independent. And you're telling us, Dave, that Dark Chamber...
That's right. Dark Chamber was a mystery thriller. Like a low-budget, low-key, slow-burn mystery thriller about a kid who moves back home with his father, puts his tenants under surveillance because he's suspicious that one of the tenants is a killer. And it's more inspired by Hitchcock than it is by Saw or Hostel. And that's nothing wrong with those films. I just was aspiring for something that was more intriguing to me. And those who get that, you know, that it's a low-budget Hitchcock homage, will appreciate it, or at least much more likely to appreciate it. Those who go by the cover art, thank you, Pop Cinema. The cover art of the pentagram carved into the back of a very hot young woman will kind of assume it's something else. And it was just at the time when they were creating the cover art, they thought this would be the best way to sell it, and they were right. Because my first reaction looking at the cover art was, that's really catchy, that's powerful, and I'm going to get slammed from the average renter. Fortunately, the average critic, you know, all the people that Pop Cinema sends out their screeners to, I think that 90% of the reviews were really solid. They got where I was coming from. But the average Netflix user just looks at it as kind of low budget.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And not gory. And it's not. It's a character drawn mystery thriller, and we got some awards for it. And if you're tolerant of the fact it's not going to look like it's $1 million or beyond, then you very well might appreciate it, because a lot of thought was put into that screenplay, and we got a lot of recognition for that screenplay at different festivals.
Well, I will tell you that your screenplay and the talent that's in it rise above the technical, because I remember when I received the screener, you know, you pop it in, and immediately I thought, oh my God, production values, it's good. But you were. I think the production suffered because you were victim to the cameras that were you using, as opposed to the shots. I mean, certainly the cinematography is good, the shots are great, but above all, what rose to the top, John, it was a good movie.
Yeah.
It was a compelling, John, good movie, and congratulations to you. Good job, Dave.
Well, yeah, I was trying to do your non-traditional micro-budget indie film. I'm glad it's out there. I'm glad some people really dig it. And it's just, it's likewise with a film of this size, you're going to get a lot of people to be antagonistic toward it. But that's the name of the game.
What you need, Dave, is money to produce something similar. Because I know that you've, after Dark Chamber, or as I call it, Dark Chamber.
I heard.
Then went on to, or I should say, went back to your comedy, Caesar and Otto characters, to do a feature.
Caesar and Otto's Summer Camp Massacre. And then how this began was before Dark Chamber came out, and I like to call up Mike and try to, Mr. Rosso, I'd like to call him up and try to get him behind a new project. I was always so enthusiastic, not anymore, always so enthusiastic about the prospect of doing a new film together and trying to make it as good as possible. And I had this script that I had written, Fear the Reaper, and my dream was to be able to bring it to Pop Cinema, get a decent budget together, shoot it with Felissa and Darren Miller and whoever else we could attain.
Who? Felissa?
Felissa Rose.
Felissa Rose.
Star of Sleepaway Camp, star of Dark Chamber, star of Summer Camp Massacre.
Yes, Felissa Rose.
And her husband, lead singer CKY, Darren Miller, great guy. I wanted Darren to make Miller, it with him.
Great guy. I met him when they did their music video. Mm-hmm.
That Misty Monday was in.
That's right.
Yeah, it's on the Bite Me DVD, I think.
That's right. Right. Joe Franz, you know Joe?
Joe Franz, of course.
DP.
And so I said, I would love to make this film. I think we could do a good job. We could go beyond what we did in Dark Chamber because we'll have more production values.
Caesar and Otto's Summer Camp Massacre.
Now we're talking about Fear the Reaper, the screenplay Fear the Reaper, which I was proposing to you.
Oh.
Fear the Reaper, which just won first place in the screenplay competition at Dark Carnival Film Festival. 2 years later. Your reaction to Fear the Reaper was, that sounds expensive. You got something that's maybe a little campier, something that's a little more comic, you know. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know if I can do like a kind of a comic horror film. What could be original? We've seen it all. We've seen the splatter this, splatter that, splatter cinema.
Splatter disco. Splatter beach. Splatter.
Farm.
Splatter
onward.
Farm.
Splatter onward.
Everything's been splattered.
You release a lot of splatters.
Yes.
And... so I said, you know, I did this little $700 comedy called Caesar and Otto. My friend Paul and I, we made these characters, and how about we take those Caesar and Otto characters and we put them into a slasher film? Hey, Felissa Rose is in Sleepaway Camp. Let's put them in a spoof of Sleepaway Camp. The whole summer camp slasher genre is big, and everybody seems to be drawn to it. So I wrote up a script, Caesar and Otto Summer Camp Massacre, sent it on in. You gave me the thumbs up, and that was the beginning of that film.
Wow.
We even have clips. And micro budget.
Yep.
You know, just whatever you can give.
Yep.
Which was cool.
Yep.
And shot, like, you gave me a lot of like ramifications. You know, could you shoot it on high def?
Yep.
I'm like, well, it's real low budget, but I think we could shoot it on high def. Could you get a couple of other actors in there to, you know, draw some more of the audience in? Oh, Brink Stevens, Joe Estevez.
Yep.
Shot it, got it done. Your first reaction was, I love this. This is great. This is fun. I'm so much happier with this than recent productions, blah, blah, so on and so forth.
Yep.
And then within 6 months. You kind of lost interest, you know?
Dave has to recap all this because I have no recollection.
I'm sure you don't.
Yeah, you said, Dave, this I'm really proud of this film. We're going to give it the red carpet treatment. This we're going to... We're going to really release the film with a lot of love, a lot of passion. But that was 2008 that I finished that film.
Yeah, Mike.
And in Jeez. 2008 came with it a shift in the industry, correct?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is... I don't think, Dave, that the problem with...
Yeah, Mike.
What's going on now with Caesar and Otters... Caesar and Otto's Summer Camp Massacre regarding distribution is a isolated case. I think there are lots of instances where filmmakers start a film and take a heck of a lot longer than you did, and then by the time the film is finished, is the market still there for releasing it?
So, things move fast these days.
I don't want to say argument, but my case for Caesar and Otto's Summer Camp was that it's specifically tying into Sleepaway Camp. Sleepaway Camp being a huge cult film. And just to attract half or even a third of the Sleepaway Camp fans, I think would make the thing a hit.
Caesar and Otto's Summer Camp Massacre. Everything you're saying about putting this out on DVD opens up a much bigger picture. The picture of that I've been talking to you offline about for probably well over a year, which is, and I've talked about, touched upon on this podcast with John.
Yeah.
That the home video DVD business is not as viable as it was years ago. So 6 years ago or 8 years ago, there was a lot of buzz in the air about DVD. People were excited about DVDs. People used to go DVD shopping. People used to get together to go to Best Buy to buy DVDs. It wasn't just watching movies. It was also...
An experience going out and getting it.
An experience through the shopping.
Yes.
I think that the thing we should need to do, Dave, is figure out where this internet is. Like the big internet must be some big machine somewhere, right?
The
like
hub.
The size of a building.
Some guy.
And we destroy it.
If you give them a quick short, sharp shock, they don't do it again. Dig it? I mean, he got off light because I could have given him a thrash, you know, only hit him once.
We pull the big plug like they did on South Park.
Yeah.
The internet. We need to find the internet and destroy it so that DVDs will come back for like 6 months, a year while they're fixing it, and then we can have a big hit on our hands.
What about the Blu-ray industry? You probably know something about this. I mean, the Blu-ray is quote-unquote the new DVD, where DVD was in 2000.
Well, I can only tell you what I know from inside, you know, the little world that I exist in. But from where we stand at alternative cinema and pop cinema, we have avoided the Blu-ray DVD market.
Why? Why?
Because retailers don't want to buy it.
Why?
I think that see, big picture, and this is such a big topic. I mean, we could talk, we could have a 5-day conference talking about the big picture.
Why?
So simultaneously, while DVD, the format, is on its way out, and with the new technologies of video on demand on its way in, you also have a metamorphosis of big chain retail stores not supporting, I don't want to say that they're not supporting, but not embracing low-budget, micro-budget, independent films anymore.
Why?
Not only is the format on the wane, but when you have a sort of
high-end...
A mutation.
A mutation of DVDs and the internet?
A mutation of DVD, a high-definition disc.
Why?
The major stores who actually support Blu-ray don't want product from micro-budget independents.
Yeah, well, it's like, why are you going to watch a low-budget film on the highest quality format?
Because it was shot on high def.
Well, look, I'm with you 100%. I mean, many of the films that I've personally produced over the last 5 years have been in high def, and I've gone through great, been painful financial expense. Produce like Shock-O-Rama on high definition, and
well, that was 16mm film, wasn't it?
16mm film, mm-hmm. Mastered to high definition, and let's go back as far as 2002 with Seduction of Misty Monday, Lust for Dracula. I mean, you name it, mm-hmm. They all were shot on film and finished on high definition, and it, you know.
Well, let's cut to the chase. When is this shit going to be available on demand? When is the market for low budget films on demand or on the internet or on cable gonna happen, so that we can cut this bullshit out?
Thank you, John. Dave, right? I don't know if I could wrap my I can't wrap my head around the whole thing. That's the problem.
Because like, we're in a transitional period.
Yes,
right
now. But I can't wrap my head around it because we're in a transitional period. But we're also in a period now where the accessibility is so much broader now. Okay, think about it. You used to go to the video store, mm-hmm. and the struggle was, as an independent, muscle your way in, like this.
Stomach punch.
To get into a distributor, to get your product distributed. Push your way into a distribution to get on the shelf of Best Buy. And once you're on the shelf at Best Buy, all the shoppers would come out and they would see the assortment and see our stuff, but the selection was limited.
Look at this. I'm on iTunes right now, okay?
Hey, Dave Campfield's movie's on iTunes.
Well, this is where you need to go, obviously.
But wait a minute. That's the
Best
point.
Buy
the point
Walmart.
Is that the assortment is so large now that it's almost niche, sub-niche. For example, Dark Chamber is available on iTunes, but mm-hmm. it's in a sea of other horror films.
Well, how do you distinguish yourself?
Thank you. Question. How many young filmmakers have started to pick up a camera because the technology is so wonderful right now that anyone can shoot your movie? Lloyd Kaufman has been screaming for how many years now? 4 or 5 years? Shoot your own damn movie? And the problem is, Lloyd, people have been listening to him.
Yeah.
And now everyone's shooting their damn movie.
Shooting shitloads of crappy movies.
So Well, some.
Yeah, well,
Dave,
some. Would you say there are more crappy movies out there than there are good movies on
the
low budget level?
I'll be the first guy to admit that, you know, yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But now there's too many movies.
Most of them horrors. Horror movies.
Horrors.
Horror movies. Here, look. Listen to this review of Dave's film. Not just a slasher flick. Great characters, interesting story, and smart all the way through. Quite a pleasant surprise.
Who wrote that?
Well, I was really inspired by that. I was really encouraged by that. I was so encouraged by that. I'm like, oh, great. I'm so happy this person liked it. Gives it 5 stars, and I click on their user profile. They gave everything 5 stars.
See, that's the other thing. It's a proliferation of people giving 5 stars to everything. 5 stars means nothing.
Usually it's a proliferation of people giving 1 star who write off every component because they didn't like one thing about it. That was just a lucky, happy person. I don't know.
I think that with your new movie, Caesar and Otto, from talking to you before we started recording, I think there are two things here from a filmmaker perspective.
Yes.
First thing.
What?
Dave, and this is every filmmaker, you want your movie to be seen.
Yeah, as widely as possible and hopefully find its proper audience.
Back in the day, there were filmmakers that I knew, and I mean, this is charming. They would package their movie, they would go to Blockbuster and put them on the shelf.
Stop.
Yes, that's people good. Want their movies to be seen. As a filmmaker, it's your child. You want it to perform well. You want people to like it. And there's nothing more satisfying than having your film on. I'm sorry, you read that review on iTunes?
iTunes, yes, I did.
And you're telling me, Dave, that's not like a setup?
No, it's not a plant review. But this person gives a lot of 5-star reviews.
But you felt very good, right, about that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, but this person still got it. She might be an optimistic viewer. But she still got it.
The dilemma is, in a nutshell, and I'm just going to tell you what it is in a nutshell. The market is not viable right now for a micro-budget independent, as of right now. By all means, if I'm wrong, please, someone write us a letter. I don't know. We have an email address, John?
Yeah.
Oh, customerservice@alternativecinema.com. That's it.
Is it my idea? You know, you talk about standing out in the market.
Yes.
And I believe that was my whole concept going into this thing. Stand out in the market. Because how many films sound like Caesar and Otto's Summer Camp Massacre? You know, it doesn't
sales pitch. Here comes the sales pitch.
Well, I'm selling it to you, the audience. You know, I just don't think that he's really quite comprehends what this little movie is. You have some clips of it. And
yes,
so if there is enthusiasm, there's
Wait a minute. Dark Chamber, iTunes, good review. How are the reviews on Netflix? Good?
Mixed. No,
are
actually,
they mixed?
Mostly. I think 50-50, but the people who dislike a movie seem to be much more passionate than those who like it.
Let's talk once again about independent micro-budget filmmaker, okay? You're on iTunes. You have a great review, and clearly some people are watching it. But it's not making any capital. It's not making any money. So when I get a check, eventually, for whatever's going on iTunes, it's probably going to be 30 cents. What do we do? This is a very large dilemma.
How do you eat?
How do we monetize digital delivery so that someone like yourself can make a film? And we're not even talking about making $1 million film, $500,000 film. We're talking about making a micro-budget film. Fear the Reaper. If someone handed you 60 grand, you could make the film?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. And it would probably be a decent film.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any answers right now because the market is so new that it's very perplexing. I'm perplexed every day, except when I'm recording the podcast. Then I'm happy.
Well,
but you make movies for you make movies because you're a filmmaker and you can't stop yourself, correct?
Yeah, fortunately.
I mean, that
See,
addiction.
You know what? In this marketplace, really, what you got to do is come to grips with the fact that there's a deluge of movies out there. There's really no way as of yet to distinguish yourself. We're going to have to wait for the technology to take hold and for other options other than iTunes or Netflix, for other retailers that are going to stream movies. Maybe there'll be a retailer that just streams horror movies. And in the meantime, you got to make movies and be happy with what you're doing. And be happy with the way that you're doing it. And even if you're not getting all of the, you know, slaps on the back that you need to keep going forward, you just got to keep on doing what you do. And, you know, sooner or later, the marketplace is going to catch up with you. You know, if you're a good filmmaker like you are.
You happen to have some clips today.
Yes, I do. Dave, come on. There's no love in this room. We got to get some love going on here.
Caesar and Otto find themselves at a summer camp in the middle of nowhere. And this is the first night where everyone gets to know each other. Get an introduction to characters played by Darren Miller. He plays Dick. And you get a sense of what kind of messed up camp these guys are all in.
Hit it, John.
It's coming.
As we pass the Sun Smile Sacred Torch, tell us your name, where you're from, and your goals in life.
My name is Dick, and that's what some people say I am. That's it.
So, you play the guitar?
No, I just like to carry one around.
Hi, I'm Giselle, and I really love kids. That's why I'm here. Also, I don't have a job, and I don't have a place to live, so if anyone has an apartment...
Very nice. Move it along.
Hi, I'm Monique, and I came to LA to be an actress, and that's when I met Sylvia.
Hi, I'm Sylvia, and I came to LA to be an actress, and that's when I met Monique.
Ooh, where can I buy a clone? Pass it along, my dear.
Hi, I'm Larry. Larry Winston.
Hi, Larry Winston.
I came out to LA a few years ago to break into the movies, just like you. Days turned into weeks. No jobs, no nothing. Then I found out I was going to have a role in a Tom Cruise film. But then he found out I wasn't into Scientology and I was fired. That was 5 years ago. 5 long years of living in freight cars. Started eating out of trash bins, hoping things would turn around. Counting the days. No friends. No family.
Great!
That's the setup.
And you did a follow-up to Cesarnato. A short, correct?
Yeah, Cesarnato in the House of Dracula.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's also funny. This is what I think you need to do.
Here we go.
And I'm talking to all filmmakers out there. Seriously, while I was listening to the clip, my brain was spinning, like, spinning fast. I thought, okay, here's a scoop. You see, occasionally there is an opportunity for independent filmmakers to release a movie, and during that period when there's an opportunity, because the market, a technology is involved, where there's a retailer or quote-unquote powers that be buying, that gives indies an opportunity to get their product out there and for someone to buy it. Yes. Now, let's say when in the drive-in movie days, when that dried up, indies were out of luck. Just talked to Sam Sherman, asked him, well, what did you do between the drive-in movie days and when VHS came out? I'm sure he has not too many good things to say.
No.
Now, DVD is pretty much...
say it. Dead.
Which means the next opportunity hasn't come. So, need to wait it out.
That's what I just said like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, that's right. Here's the other thing.
Now, make a movie and be happy.
If you can make a movie or write a script that's very good, and Dave, I feel thrilled to have you here because you are a good writer and you make good movies. And not only can you make a good horror film, but you can also make a comedy that is funny. So my other advice that I've given in the past to filmmakers, or I've said to them, because sometimes we'll make a movie here or license it, and if the filmmaker is very talented, I will explain to them on the phone or in person, I'll be like, you know, what you're doing here is a window of opportunity. Because what's going to happen is you're going to grow out of making a micro-budget movie. You're going to get tired of the limited resources, the lack of money. It's going to get worn out very quick. But you, my friend, a listener out there who happens to be talented, or you, Dave, the other option is to hit the high road. You pack your shit up and you go to L.A., and you give it your absolute best shot.
Hmm.
And that's where I think there is opportunity, because that's where the film business is. And there is opportunity to push your scripts, or take meetings, try to get meetings with bigger companies or companies, I guess, on the Lionsgate level. And companies out there are looking for talent. It is a difficult decision to make, absolutely. And I'm not saying it would be easy. I'm not saying it would be easy to go to L.A. and do such a thing. But that's where opportunity is.
Well, how about if you were to take your best shot and put all your money and mortgage your house and shoot the movie of your dreams?
Oh, I don't
think a lot of people have done that, and then they get a $10,000 advance for it.
What about the
What
about the 8 films to die for, or the you know what we need in here? We need a Craig Singer in here.
Craig Singer to talk to him.
To talk to him about Craig. You're making independent features. They're good-looking films. I'm assuming they're
being played in theaters.
I'm assuming that if they're not $1 million budget, they're certainly close to it. They're playing in theaters and they're getting distributed by the 8 Films to Die For, which spun off into a new movie. What's his new movie's name, John?
Oh, he's gonna kill me. I don't know. You can go online at my two sentences.
So, Dave, obviously we're preaching to you right now. What do you think of all this?
It's thoroughly depressing.
No, is this a good idea? I mean, I'm trying to come up with a better idea than to just keep...
Your proposed idea is to pack up stuff and go to L.A. In this age of internet where things can be done long distance, I mean, right now I'm working with some great filmmakers from Canada who have bigger budgets than my own. I'm writing for them. I'm writing 3 different films for them at the moment. That's one of my obligations. Well, that's one of my current assignments. Likewise, I'm eager to complete the Cesar Nono series, which I believe there's an audience for.
So. You could virtually pack your bags. I'm not saying you have to, especially, you're right, this day and age, you could virtually pack your bags and mentally move to L.A. and to shop your wares. And, of course, it is idealistic, but the fact that I do know some people that have done it, it is possible. So whenever I run into someone who is talented and is doing a great job and deserves more, I mean, you should get your budget for your movie because you can make, you have a skill, you have a craft, and we don't want to see it get wasted.
Mm-hmm. Take it from two guys who have been broken. You need to follow your dream.
It's a bit frustrating because it's a matter of, okay, this film right here, what's key in my mind is I'm going to get this out. I'm going to get this out properly. Not just VOD. It's going to be, even if it's a matter of breaking even, my goal ultimately here is getting it out the proper way, whether it's this label or another label. You're going to ultimately figure out the goal on this. Now, you're almost saying, well, abandon the small stuff, but at the same time, I have a commitment to those that I worked on the film with. Mm-hmm. And also, there's a lack in the marketplace of comedies of yesteryear, the Three Stooges, Abbott and Costello, the slapstick kind of things. And I feel that if the audience was reintroduced to it, at least segments of them would react. I mean, that might be negative. That might be somewhat naive on my part. But hey, I could be a naive guy, or maybe I'm being absolutely right. It's just a matter of getting into the audience in the right way. And what's the best way? Right now we're going through film festivals and getting some reviews. Got a stellar review from PrettyScary.net the other day.
Awesome.
And that's where we're at the moment.
Well, I think right now you really can't be in this at this time to make money because you're not going to make money. That's first and foremost, I think. I mean, Mike has seen it firsthand for many years.
I'm your older brother, Mike, and I was stepped over. It ain't the way I wanted it. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like, dumb, I'm smart, and I want respect.
That's why I'm saying you got to put all your heart and soul and your love into it. And if the right person sees it, and that has deep pockets, who will be like, you know what, I like this guy, I like what he's doing, you know, maybe I can bring him on board, or maybe I can have him shoot a movie for me, or maybe I can have him tweak my script or something. You got to get you noticed, because you're not going to, go out there and make money on this stuff right now, unfortunately.
In order to make money, you need big deals.
Mike, I don't understand. I don't have your brain for big deals.
So I say, while we have the muscle, we get in there and we take care of them. In order to make money, you need some big deals. And I explained this to you, actually. We spoke a little bit about this, Dave and I, before we started recording. I'm like, well, in order for a small film to be successful, you kind of have to hit some key...
There's a formula.
You need to hit some key sales with it. You need to hit a blockbuster-type rental market. You need to have a reasonable sell-through that's selling them in stores like Best Buy. You need to have a little TV deal, small TV deal, whether it's pay-per-view or a pay TV deal like Showtime. you need a few international sales, and the cumulative of that will actually, you know, the cumulative will pay for your production, and you'll have an overage, and you'll actually be making money. As times change and as economy changes, those stores themselves that used to give shelf space to an independent start tightening their own buckle. If you Google, if you Google Blockbuster, you will see that they are multi-millions, if not billion, it could be up to $1 billion in debt right now. So when yes. Wow. So when large corporations start really feeling the economics of things, they start really, really looking at their bottom line. And when they look at the patterns of what they took in years past and what was and was not renting, they stop buying.
They start cutting out
the
bottom.
They start cutting. So sometimes the bottom line is like very hard and very painful because something's happened structurally on a corporate level that is completely out of our control.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Nice college boy, huh? They want to get mixed up in the family business? Huh? Now you want to gun down a police captain? Why, because he slapped you in the face a little bit? Huh? What do you think, this is the army where you shoot him a mile away? You got to get him close like this, and bada-bing, you blow their brains all over your nice Ivy League suit. Come here. Mwah! You're taking this very personal.
There is not one single answer to the low-budget, micro-budget filmmaker dilemma. And it's unfortunate. We should bring in more filmmakers like yourself and have a wider discussion because, I mean, you see things that I don't see. You know, I sit behind a desk every day, and I'm fairly isolated. You're out more. You talk to other filmmakers more than I do, probably. And you have probably a little more in touch with the buzz out there of other filmmakers that are producing films on the level that you're producing that are having successes or failures?
You know, I was at the Fright Night Film Festival just in August, and, you know, I got to meet a number of different filmmakers, and no one really has good news, you know, in terms of their film and distribution chances. Somebody was jumping up and down that he got a company that I probably didn't give him an advance. But it goes to show you how difficult the market could be.
So for anyone listening out there who is a filmmaker or a potential filmmaker, so this is how it works. You tell me. You make a film, and then you have to get a deal with a distributor. And then, ideally, you want to get a cash advance on a contract and then get some percentage points on sales, correct?
A normal deal.
Yes. I mean, this deal is no different than, let's say, if you were an independent filmmaker producing higher-budget movies out in Hollywood, correct?
Correct.
I don't have your brain for big deals.
And you'd be proportionally as ripped off as you would on the small scale as well. Absolutely. You know, if you have a 5- or 6-digit budget and you go to a distributor, they're going to lowball you. If you have a 7-8-digit budget, independently produced film, and you go to the distributor, you're going to get lowballed. It just seems like most everybody, the only people really making money are the actors, those who are getting paid.
Yeah, definitely.
And rarely beyond, when it comes to these indie filmmakers, is anybody really making a big buck, and even a buck. Mm-hmm. And even successful films that I'm aware of, successful indie films, when I talk to the filmmakers, aren't as successful as they sounded financially.
So. You know, it's funny. I was just reading an article about Gina Rowlands. They're re-releasing one of her movies she did with John Cassavetes. And she was talking about her relationship with John Cassavetes and that, you know, they were, you know, committed filmmakers. Whatever film and subject matter they did, they were highly committed on, you know, the most realistic levels, acting and producing-wise. But they were always broke. And when they needed money, because John Cassavetes had somewhat of a cachet in Hollywood, they would both go out and do other people's movies and make the shitloads of money you make when you're an actor in that position and then come back and put them into their movies and be broke again and complete the cycle. So that is the lot of the independent filmmaker, unfortunately.
So, Dave, bottom line to everything we're talking about is, or as they say, you know, at the end of the day, you're a filmmaker, you make movies. That's what you want to do. And it's unfortunate all this business stuff, money, business, contracts, has to get in the way of what you do making movies.
I never wanted this for you. I worked my whole life. I don't apologize to take care of my family. And I refused to be a fool. Dancing on the string held by all those big shots. I don't apologize, that's my life, but I thought that when it was your time, that you would be the one to hold the strings. Senator Corleone. Governor Corleone. Something.
I'm not a peasant of Anta.
This wasn't enough time, Michael. Wasn't enough time.
We'll get there, Pop. We'll get there.
I think it's very important that you remain
optimistic.
Yes, optimistic.
And enthusiastic about your own work, because your work is worthy of being enthusiastic about it. And don't let the marketplace get you down, because I think the bottom line here is we are in a transitional period right now.
I don't think that people, filmmakers, are realistic enough or talk realistically enough. They're too busy talking about the fantasy. And that fantasy is in every filmmaker's head. To make your movie, it's going to be the next biggest thing, yada, yada. And it's like, I think that I've been through it enough, and John certainly has as well, that, you know, it's no fantasy anymore. It's the reality of things, the reality of you making a film, and you really don't know if there's going to be a market for it and any distribution for it. And I think that some filmmakers, while they're making their movie, they actually, maybe they have to, believe that this is actually going to be a market for their film.
The number one film this weekend, which outgrossed Saw 6 in its second week, was Paranormal, which was produced for $11,000. But behind that $11,000 was Paramount Pictures, with Steven Spielberg and DreamWorks. Mm-hmm. Now, if that could attain such an amazing figure, $22 million or $24 million gross on an $11,000 film, granted with $10 million from promotion from Paramount. That's the part that always gets swept under the carpet. It shows you that there is some level of success. I will never have a success with Cesar Nato's Summer Camp Massacre, but I can have some success. I can find an audience. So if that film could find a big audience, I could find a definitive small audience.
Well, we're not.
And that's the reality.
We're not in that club. That's the thing. I mean, it's you know, as you said, Paramount Pictures. We're not in the club, so to speak. I mean, I remember when Blair Witch came out. Oh my God, that sent like every kid running in the woods with their camera. Yep. You know, and
us included.
Yeah.
The Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
Blair Witch. What we? Erotic Witch.
Erotic Project. Witch.
Yeah.
Oof.
So, I mean, Dave, this really is an ongoing debate, because the market keeps shifting and things are always changing. And then every now and then something will hit on our level, a little bit higher level. You know, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's really gambling. There's no quick known formula of whether something's going to be a hit or not. I think the same thing, the same challenges exist for Hollywood of them.
Absolutely.
Getting...
Look at that Johnny Depp movie where he played Dillinger, was it?
Oh, what was that called?
I don't know. I forget.
Public Enemies.
Public Enemies. Yeah, I looked at that. I'm like, that's going to be a great movie. Came and went.
Flop.
Had Johnny Depp in place. Who was the director? Tony Scott?
Michael Mann.
Michael Mann. Michael fucking Mann. And the movie came and went. Disappeared. But there's no guarantees.
They all got paid. They're all happy, though.
Oh,
see, that's the interesting thing. That's when the studio takes the hit.
Yeah. There's someone that's not happy, though.
Yeah, we got to get paid somehow. That's what we got to do.
We could set up like a PayPal account where people could send money.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
There you go.
Dude, that is fucking groundbreaking. I'm serious.
So what are you going to do, Dave?
Set up a PayPal account. Get all the people this podcast, $1, $2. Everybody who listens, you send it in to Dave to help him make his fucking movie.
No, the film is complete. Now, the key is that the audience has to react. You know all those thousands of hits we got on YouTube when it first was released?
Yes.
There was enthusiasm there. There's a lot of people who wanted to see that film. It's a matter of that audience either becoming aware of this and expressing their enthusiasm and letting people like you know, who are afraid to release a comedy horror, that maybe this one's a little bit different.
Mm.
And I'd be willing to rent it and buy
it. That's the gamble.
Or buy it. So
Well, let's
see, now you got to gamble, Mike.
I'm done gambling. My pockets are turning. Can't you see from there? My pockets are turning inside out.
Oh, I thought you were happy to see me.
There's a few flies. There's a few flies buzzing over his head right now.
I took some chances last year on some films that I believed in. I still believe in, but the market.
There was
wasn't
a couple
right.
that you should not have believed in.
Maybe. Maybe George Lucas. Maybe you, like, knock on his door.
Oh, you know what? There's probably nobody else.
Well, you got to find somebody who's into that style of. You got to call Tom Hanks. Let him get behind.
Yeah,
it.
You need big
Ron
shots.
Howard.
Ron Howard.
Dude, I'm sure there's nobody like that.
Michael Madsen.
Yes. Michael Madsen.
Does Michael Madsen have any pull?
Michael Madsen, I met at a film festival. He's like really nice, and I was talking with him. I told him about this film. I told him we got the honorable mention at Fright Night. And he says, yeah, man, I want to go check out your film. You know, and him and his agent, you know, the cool guy. So then they wrote me an email. You know, they watched the trailer. It was really funny. So I don't think anything will necessarily come out of it. But it's kind of encouraging.
You never know.
Well, what about the Dennehy family? Don't you have
Ed Dennehy is in Cesar Amato in the House of Dracula. The idea is that Summer Camp Massacre will come included with short film Cesar Amato in the House of Dracula, followed by Cesar Amato meet Dracula's lawyer. With, at this moment in time, Lloyd Kaufman playing Judge Browning, and my idea is to get them all squeezed on the same disc. And
got a plan here. Gotta keep going.
Well, Dennehy is Brian Dennehy's brother, lesser-known brother, and he's playing Steve Dracula, Dracula's lesser-known younger brother.
Brian Dennehy,
yes.
Okay? Every American is thinking, oh my God, Brian Dennehy, Rambo, the sheriff from Rambo.
Right.
That film will live on forever. It's an awesome film.
It's a great movie.
Brian Dennehy plays an awesome...
The perfect prick cop in it.
Awesome character. And you work with his brother.
We could have killed them all. Let it go.
Martin Sheen. Apocalypse Now. Yeah. You work with his brother.
What did they tell you? They told me that you had gone totally insane. And that your methods were unsound. Are my methods unsound? I don't see any method at all.
Not only that, do you know that Joe Esteves supplied the voiceover narration in Apocalypse Now?
Did he?
He was the guy who replaced Martin Sheen to do all the voiceover.
Is that right?
He was the one who ascended out of the muck in that famous scene in Apocalypse
Now. Get the fuck out of here.
When it's all on the special features of the Cesar Amato Summer Camp Massacre DVD, and that is 7 minutes with Joe Esteves, an exclusive interview where he chronicles all the little stories about him and Martin Sheen that you didn't know.
Wow. Does he still get along with his brother?
Yeah. I mean, this funny little anecdotes that, you know, he has about
does
him.
Does he throw him little bones like Ron Howard does to his ugly brother?
It's not nice. I guess you had to get one in one. You know, it can't be a podcast when John doesn't.
I've been very sullen this whole time because I got to say I'm a little depressed. I feel bad. This podcast is
Ron Howard's brother is in.
He's ugly. I gotta say,
is in
nice guy. He's in almost every movie that guy made.
Ron Howard directed the Frost Nixon.
Mm-hmm. Was a cameraman.
Yes, he's in it. What's his name?
He's in Doug all Howard. Of his brother's movies.
Clint Howard.
And you know what? Back in the day, he was the big star, Clint.
So why aren't you? Why are you here right now, Dave? Why aren't you like over at Brian Dennehy's house? Go over for a barbecue.
I'm not even over at Ed Dennehy's house right now.
Oh, Martin Sheen, White. Like, can you get over there? I'm just asking. I don't have these opportunities.
Well, maybe, you know, Joe will show the movie to his brother, and his brother will be like, oh, what have I been doing my whole life with these big-budget movies? I need to get with Dave.
Exactly. I mean, you got something going on.
No,
it's good.
You got enthusiasm and heart.
Yes.
That's what Dave
Felicia
has.
Rose.
Depressed.
She was in, what, Summer Camp Massacre?
Felicia Rose was the star of Sleepaway Camp.
Sleepaway Camp.
Right? Sleepaway Camp.
Have you seen that?
Dear Mom and Dad, I've been at a sleepaway camp for almost 3 weeks, and I'm getting very scared.
Welcome to sleepaway camp. Someone is watching you.
Hey, Mama, Rima!
Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death. Sleepaway camp. You won't be coming home.
Mr. Rosso, have you seen Sleepaway Camp yet?
No. But I know about that's the wild. I know
that
about
was like
shit.
In the '80s.
Yeah, big movie.
Yeah.
Big horror movie.
Which came first, Sleepaway Camp or Friday the 13th?
Friday the 13th and Sleepaway Camp kind of ripped it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, but Friday the 13th was ripping off a number
like
of other films anyway.
Just like Psycho and Motel Hell.
You may never again spend a night away from home. After you spend a night with Ida and Vincent.
Ida will show you the way.
You want us to register?
No, that won't be necessary.
Terrifying nightmare could never prepare you for what happens to the guest.
Vincent, you think in the years to come people will appreciate us for what we're doing here?
I have a surprise for you.
Oh, goody, I love surprises.
One after another they come. Another, they check in. And pray for the day they can check out.
All we have to do is give to be happy.
You'll never forget Ida.
Hair curled.
And you'll never forget Vincent.
Somebody's trying to kill me!
And hard as you try, you'll never forget their secret garden. For a night and stay for a nightmare. Motel Hell. No one will be admitted after the guests check in.
Darren, successful man, unlike myself,
as of yet,
had heard that Felice is doing Cesar Ronan's Summer Camp Massacre. He loves Sleepaway Camp. He said if there's a part for him, he'll do it. Absolutely, it was a part, even if I had to rewrite it for him.
Yeah, no shit.
When he got on the set, we have this real micro-budget film, but it's the camera, it's a sound guy, and it's a lighting guy, that's it.
Same logistics, don't matter if it's a $10 movie or a $15 million movie, it's a movie.
Just more guys standing around.
We clicked so well on that set, and he got exactly where I was coming from, the attention to detail that I had, that he had told Felicia that I've been waiting for the right person to collaborate with on this script that I have in mind, that I wanted to collaborate with Dave.
Yes.
So here he did, came in for this movie just to try it out, see what it's like, and we just got along. I really appreciated that he saw in me what I was hoping to get across as a director, that, you know, the passion for telling a story and a very specific way of directing it. And not just the fact that I want to just rehash what's been done before, but to bring the depth, you know, to what you're saying. Otherwise, what's the point?
See? I have an idea. Can Darren give you the tapes for the next CKY album to put that as the bonus disc in your movie?
Ooh.
Will he give that up?
No. Oh, the whole CD?
Yeah.
Come on.
Does
Joe Estevez have any like home movies of him like horsing around with his brother that you could put in the package?
There would be four scene footage.
Would that appeal to your fans, though?
Can Ed Dennehy get us some like BTS from like the Rambo movie?
Let it go. Let it.
But in this, let's be realistic though. If you had at Cam Motion Pictures a season one of Summer Camp Massacre starring Martin Sheen and Brian Dennehy. Would it
that
do
would
biz?
Be fucking awesome.
Yeah, we would love it.
It would,
you know?
Do biz. Absolutely, it would do biz.
Yeah, you get Brian Dennehy and Martin Sheen to star in the lead roles.
Just in little cameos, which would be more realistic.
Filmmaker Ken Del Vecchio. Okay, Ken is making movies. He's making low budget independent films. I don't know what the budgets are, but they certainly look nice. I'm sure he's spending some money. But he is hiring. He is going the star route, and he's doing the right thing because he's able to get the sales in big, whatever existing video stores still exist. So he's hiring Charles Durning, Academy Award winner. He's hiring William Forsythe. You know who he is?
Yeah, I met him at the Friday Night Film Festival.
There you go. Character actor. He hired, who's Candy? Who's the Candy Man?
Tony Todd.
Tony
Sammy
Todd.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Who can take a sunrise?
The horror film Candyman.
Right.
Is
that big guy.
So he wrangles together himself a budget.
Yeah. He's wrangling enough talent. You see, you're working on the sibling.
Yeah, well, they're nice guys. Well, I have people.
No, you're doing what you can.
They're recommended to me. But can I tell you a funny William Forsythe story?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm talking to William Forsythe. I want to, you know, make my introduction. I always respected his work, his ability. And got along, and he's asking me about my films, you know, and I was asking, like, what it takes to get him in a film. He says, I've worked on the lower end. You know, what kind of budgets do you have? And he would make a guess, and he'd be really way off. He'd be, like, way higher. And I said, no, it's lower. And he'd make another guess, and he's really way off. It was higher. And he said, well, what was your budget? And I tell him. And then he said, well, it was nice meeting you.
Oh, shit, really?
Hey, man, I just won an award here.
Yeah, you don't want to tell people your budget. Yeah. I had a conversation with some folks at the Sci-Fi Channel, and they were looking at some of the Brett Piper film, Bacterium. Mm-hmm. And
did they comment about my bun on the back of my head?
They did. They did.
Shit.
But he said, what are you doing? You're spending like, you know, $250,000 on this movie, $300,000 on this movie. I was like, yeah. I just nodded my head, yeah. What am I going to tell them? That I produce these for $35,000? No, no one wants to hear that.
Well, here's what's interesting. Why was it that Robert Rodriguez, granted in a different time, this is El Mariachi in the early 90s, suddenly he's looked at the hero of independent cinema. He made a film for $7,000.
Right.
Oh, he's the media darling.
You have to be successful with it. Then you could tell everyone.
No, he was successful with it because he made it, and that became a novel story in and of itself. Now so many people have done what he did that if Robert Rodriguez was out today – as just a generic man.
He'd be buried like everybody else.
And he would not get any place. He was very fortunate, and he's talented. I'm not taking his talent away from him. But there is such a girth and a wealth of these indie filmmakers that how do you stand out, you know, with or without good product?
I think if you tried to take Robert Rodriguez's talent away from him, he'd probably put up a good fight. I wouldn't want to mess with that guy.
Well,
can I say something else?
Yes.
Thank you for the donuts, Mike.
They're Dunkin' Donuts Munchkins.
They're good.
They're very tasty and not very healthy.
They're very tasty. Donuts are the worst thing for
Today's
you.
Today's Taco Tuesday.
They're very tasty.
We're going to have some tacos from Baja Fresh. Oh. Hey, Tone, you want me to send the kid down to Baja Fresh?
Oh, there he is.
What do you have
you
to
want
say,
I
John?
Should send the kid down to Baja Fresh?
What do you got, John?
You hungry, T? You want I send the kid for Baja Fresh?
I got nothing.
No, you said I would like to say...
I said, thank you for the donuts.
Oh. So, Dave?
May I ask one more thing of you before you get into your closing monologue from what I perceive this to be?
You're very perceptive.
Okay. Mr. Rosso, at this point in time, you as president of Camp Motion Pictures and about 35 other labels.
Yes.
How many screeners are still arriving on your desk on a weekly basis from indie filmmakers?
I don't know about on a weekly basis, but I go home with mail bins, those little mail bins. I go home with like a mail bin, like, because they're flat DVDs, they don't take up much space, like quarter full at the end of a month. So maybe like one or two a week come floating in.
Yeah.
You know?
And most of the time you just look at it and say, well, I wish I could do something.
By the way, if anyone has sent a screener into this company, please understand it takes a long, long time. And there are very few slots available. Mm. The market sucks, as Dave Campfield knows. There's really not that much of an opportunity. And out of, let's say, 25 screeners, if I'm lucky, one will even be chosen just to look at. And that's coming from us.
Hmm.
I don't want to be, what do you call that, self-deprecating? Is that the word?
Well, it depends. What are you going to say?
But, you know, it's like, you know, we're considered, it's very small.
I consider you you would be a mid-size of the small labels.
There you go. Mid-size, small labels, you know, and there's just so little. The fact that you've made your movie, that Dark Chamber was distributed, I think we need to be, it being November, thankful for what we have.
Yeah.
Thankful, regardless of whether it makes money or not, that your film is out there, Dark Chamber. It's accessible by people. You could promote it. You could have people rent it, buy it. And I think there are plenty of other filmmakers who never even get to that level. Never. And that's unfortunate. Well, maybe in some cases it is good for them.
Because they need to stop.
Yes.
This is not the closing chapter, you know, on Summer Camp Massacre. Not even close to the closing chapter.
It shouldn't be. It should definitely not be.
Well, Caesar and Otto's Summer Camp Massacre. It's a film. It's poised to be released by somebody, whether it's Camp Motion Pictures or Troma or maybe some bigger labels out there. Now, you told me you have not shopped this to larger labels.
Not at all. No, I see the ideas. Let's accrue some reviews. Let's get some word of mouth. Let's get some festival play. And as PrettyScary.net says in their review, that the content is there. How come there's not more of a push for this thing? You know, so just to build the buzz and get people to say, what the hell is that movie? I've got to rent it. I've got to buy it.
You hungry, T? You want to send the kid for Bajia Fresh?
Otto.
Toot Inside Out.
That's C-A-E-S-A-R, for those who can't spell.
That's two spellings of Caesar. Caesar Romero and Julius Caesar.
Right.
We chose the Julius Caesar approach.
We've been so engrossed in conversation.
My God.
That we have not been able to plug the alternative cinema releases for November, which is...
Otto.
R.
Otto.
Have to pay the bills here, Dave Campfield.
Otto.
The sexploitation double feature, which is Female Animal and Teenage Mother, or as they say in the promo, Teenage Mother.
Teenage Mother means 9 months of trouble.
This promo is 5 minutes long.
Teenage Mother means 9 months of trouble.
Oh, do you have two of them? What's the other one?
Teenage Mother means 9 months of trouble.
Uncle Farts? Oh, no.
No.
Hey, Uncle Farts! I've looked everywhere, and I can't find my Shrek 2 boogie board.
Well, then it's quite obvious to me that we got ourselves a mystery.
Oh, dear.
You have two promos.
Where's Scooper's boogie board?
Well, that's clips for Pop Cinema. I got Female and Teenage Mother DVD Wave.
How long is that?
Teenage Mother means 9 months of trouble.
Oh, I don't know. Was that the one? Oh, a minute and a half.
Creature in your world who can satisfy me.
Female Animal.
I know how to make all the boys hot.
Teenage Mother. Presented together for the first time to home video. Two shocking exploitation films by legendary producer-director Jerry Gross.
Jerry Gross!
The man who brought you I Spit on Your Grave and Fritz the Cat.
Leave the money in the top drawer. There's no special rates for your kind.
She's all female, all animal.
What is that?
Seduced by drugs, wealth, and power, Angelique must choose between decadence and self-respect in Female Animal.
Oh, we shouldn't be doing this.
love each other. That makes it all right.
She's a motorcycle mama. Drugs, hormones, and a hot new teacher send local high schoolers over the edge in Teenage Mother.
Teenage Mother means 9 months of trouble.
Two exciting exploitation features starring the sensual Arlene Tiger. Female Animal plus Teenage Mother.
Teenage Mother means 9 months of trouble.
In a Jerry Gross sexploitation double feature. Only from Secret Key Motion Pictures. Available now.
Still won't talk, eh? Where's Scooper's boogie board?
What we learned here today is to keep it up. If you're committed, be enthusiastic. Dave, we'd like to have you back. We could probably figure out some way to wire up this computer into like a phone line or something.
No, let's just get his car fixed. We don't have to go through all that nonsense.
Comments, if anyone has any comments. By the way, John, we received zero letters.
Aww.
We received no letters. I will say the Film Photography Podcast got like 10 to 12 letters.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's enthusiastic.
Lots of enthusiasm about it, that there's nothing else out there, how kind of like laid back we were. That was very encouraging. Unfortunately, the AC podcast, it's like what? Like no one sent – we had a quiz question that no one answered.
Oh, we were giving shit away and nobody answered.
All it was you know, how many sequels were there to Happy Days? And what? People, they can't drag their arm to the computer, to the Google.
That's kind of a lame
question. You just go to Google and you type in how many sequels to Happy Days. I mean, how do you think I found the answers?
Why don't we have a contest where we say, how do you spell Caesar from Caesar and Otto's Summer Camp Massacre?
What? What brothers, what siblings, okay, what siblings of major celebrities are in Caesar and Otto, Summer Camp Massacre, and Caesar and Otto in Dracula's Castle? All you have to do is name two. That's it.
And we'll mail them this box of uneaten munchkins.
And what will you win? Well, I will tell you what you will win. I think people will respond to this. I will send you a copy of Stephen Romano's Shock Fest on DVD.
Stephen Romano's Shock Fest on DVD.
Whoa.
Okay.
Stephen Romano's Shock Fest on DVD.
Now, you may not receive it for a month or so, but you'll get it. It comes out on February 9th, 2010. We'll get you the DVD as soon as it's actually available. This is an amazing three-disc set of classic Grindhouse trailers and bank of trailers, newly produced trailers, based on Stephen's artwork from his book, Shock Festival. I'm giving away
Dima's Shock Fest on DVD.
Top of the line, premium product, Stephen Romano's Shock Festival.
Is this a Shockorama release?
Yes. Stephen Romano's Shock Fest on DVD.
There he is.
You hungry, T? You want to send the kid for my Jeff Fresh?
Okay, one of the few Shockorama 2009 releases, one of like two or three, right?
No, it's 2010. I don't think anything went on in 2009.
See, so this is exclusive Shockorama content.
That's right.
The same label that brought you Dark Chamber.
That's right.
Brings you Shockfest.
That's right.
So come on.
Send a letter. Customer service at alternativecinema.com.
That can.
Yeah. And then we'll be back next month or maybe in a few weeks. We're toying with the idea of doing some more of these things. Probably not.
What, podcasts?
Yeah.
You mean probably not?
Well, no, we'll do it next month, but I don't know if we're going to have more than once a month.
Oh, once a month, okay. All
right,
never mind.
Right. And I've been playing various clips of music clips that I, you know, we don't talk about, but I will tell you that my obsession with the music of Scott Walker.
Oh, boy.
Continues.
Speaking about depressing.
He was so strong. He was so bold. When they made him, it broke the mold. If he heads this way, when the moon is low.
I've avoided listening to his most recent albums, 1995's Tilt, and 2006's Oh, what's the 2006 album called?
I don't know.
Dead?
When I'm talking about depressing, oh my god. I stayed away from them because I was afraid that I'd hang myself.
Yeah.
I bought Till.
Pretty dark.
Oh my god.
But you don't know what the guy's singing about anyways, but you know that it's not good.
No. It's
his lyrics are very cryptic and non sequitur.
But if you've never heard of Scott Walker, which you probably haven't, most people haven't, but there is a core...
it's a cult.
Cult following for his music. I highly recommend you check it out. It's very diverse.
Plastic palace people sing silent songs. They dream too long. Their memories just
starting from the 60s through 2006. And a documentary was made called 30 Century Man. I highly recommend you rent it from the Netflix.
Stream it live.
Stream it live on the Netflix. Or you could rent it, or you can go to Amazon and buy it. I also recommend that you go and watch Dave Campfield's film Dark Chambre. Dark Chambre. Check it out. It's a good movie. And I want to thank Dave for coming by.
Thank you for having me, and hopefully I'll get home without my car exploding today.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You don't hear from me again, my car exploded.
We're going to see everyone next time for the super spectacular holiday edition of the Alternative Cinema Podcast.
Can't wait.
We talk about more independent film subject matter. Till then, keep shooting. Special thanks to our webmaster, Greg Dumont, and his KillerReviews.com website. Check it out, killerreviews.com. It's a movie lover's site, B-movie lover's site. If you are into B-movies and movies, check out killerreviews.com and Greg's podcast.
Our town love a stampede by my old jacket in the park. Someday I'll pick it up, look for the label and whisper, tears and got no, tears got none at all, tears and got no, none at all.